You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful night, and thank you so much for tuning in and supporting all that we're doing here on the podcast. It's been amazing. You guys have been amazing out there checking us out and subscribing and downloading, and it's just a real pleasure. Of course, I'm your host, Brent Thomas. This is the Paranormal Portal podcast, and once again, special thanks to Revolver Podcast for making all this possible. Again, I am Brent Thomas. If you're not familiar with me, this is my show. So let's get to the first story tonight, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so this story is coming out of California, ladies and gentlemen. And this is a phenomenon that's pretty common, but let's get into this. And it's a pretty quick story. So it says, my girlfriend previously lived in Mission Bay by the beach. And that's in San Diego, for those of you who don't know, and in case you wanted to know. And one night, I was there, and we were watching TV. We kept hearing knocks on the wall, and she thought it was some kids outside, and I thought maybe it was a branch from a tree or something. It kept going on for a while, so I decided to check it out, and I went outside to see what it was. And there was a tree rubbing against the house. I went back inside to tell her it was just a tree, so we continued to watch television, and we heard the knocks again. But this time it was on the other wall. The only difference was that one side of the wall was in the living room where we were, and the other side was in the kitchen. No one was there in the house but us, so we kind of got freaked out. I told her it's a ghost to just try to scare her for fun. But the more I talked to her about it, the more I started to scare myself. And then it finally hit me that it probably was actually a ghost. This continued for over 5 months. We got used to it, and we weren't scared of it at all anymore, but one day we told it to stop, and it did. I kind of regret telling it to stop, because then the house just got boring like any other house, and even though it was kind of scary, it was fun with those knockers around. Now, a lot of times, ladies and gentlemen, and we've covered this many times, but so, you know, most commonly, like, you know, most of the time, if you have a spiritual presence around, they're not necessarily evil. They're not necessarily trying to cause problems. They're just trying to let you know they're there. Like, I think about this often, and I think, you know, for those in the death state that really don't understand what's going on, so, like, they just passed, and maybe they passed in their sleep, maybe they passed when they were awake, whatever, but they might not really realize what's going on. And suddenly they're just confused. They're like, nobody talks to me at all anymore. Nobody even notices I'm here. What's going on? And they may not know that they're dead, or they do know they're dead, but they still know that they're alive and they just want to be acknowledged. So oftentimes you can ask for a sign of their name or whatever. It's one of those things that if it is dark, you don't want to promote communication with it too much. You just want it to go away. But you can tell these spirits, you know, what your expectations are. You can communicate with them. You can claim your space. You can say, look, if you're here, that's fine, but don't scare me. Don't hide my stuff. Don't scare anybody else in the house. You know, whatever your rules are, whatever you're comfortable with. And just tell them if they're willing to adhere to that, they're welcome to stay and be a part of the home. But if they're not, they must leave. But you may also preface that by saying, if you are evil, you are compelled to leave this space. You are not allowed. Because it's a different set of circumstances with spirits in most cases that they don't... It's not like they don't lie, because they do. There's impersonators, there's spirits that will impersonate another person or another form in order to make you more comfortable, when actually they're you know, really up to no good. And those kind of things happen. But generally, if you make a proclamation, and you know, with your emotion and with your passion, it does kind of seal it in a sense. And it's like stating, if you are of a negative vibration, you are pushed out of this home. So you're creating a set of rules, and basically you're creating an energy vibration that most of them will respect, most of them will adhere to. Now, not always, but mostly. And there's a lot of people that have been in the field for generations, decades, and they talk about claiming your space. You know, being startled and being afraid are two different things. Everyone gets startled. It's just the human nature, but to feel fear is a surrender. So never allow yourself to be fearful. Even though whatever's going on might be really intense and it might really be setting you back, just know that it's, you know, you have to stay in control. So just some little tidbits. And those that have been around the portal for a while know, have heard me say that a number of times. I don't ever mean to be redundant, but I do think with new people coming into the show all the time, and you know, a lot of you guys, I'm sure, are well aware of this and probably know more than me, but I just feel compelled to share these things because the portal is also a discussion. It's just about sharing ideas, sharing knowledge, sharing thoughts, and you know, hopefully we all come to a better understanding together. So just some thoughts on that, but I think that you know, sometimes they just want to be noticed. Knock, knock, I'm here, you know, I'm here, it's me, I'm here, just notice me. So, and once you do, it can go a long ways to creating a healing for a spirit that might be in a state of confusion or have to work through some things. So, I think we can be helpful that way. All right, the next one, ladies and gentlemen, is coming out of California again. It's a popular state tonight. How many of these are coming out of California? Nope, not that one. No, it looks like those first two are mostly it, but all right. So this one is kind of a cool theme, and I think there's something to this, and I would like to discuss it a little bit with you guys after I read it, but it says, I have a drum set in my house, and I used to play every day when I got home from school, and when I played, I saw something in the corner of my eye. Sometimes it was just a blue thing, but I recognized it to be a white figure. It's not like a full human size, just like something peeking out from my door or behind my bed or something like that. And I thought maybe it's just in my head until my friend Mauricio, I think that's how you pronounce it, came over, and he plays guitar but wanted to try out the drums, so I let him. After he was playing for about 10 seconds, he stopped. And when he said, Josh, what was that thing? I told him I didn't know what he was talking about, and he described what I had seen. I told him that I used to see it when I played drums and thought it was just in my head, but now I know it has to be something. It only came out when I played the drums, but I've seen it a few times playing my guitar or when I blasted music really, really loud. My friend told me that she thinks that it's that music was used to talk to spirits in rituals and stuff like that. So That might be why it comes out when I played music. Does anyone know what it could possibly be? And ladies and gentlemen, music is energy. And that's not just speaking in physics. I'm not speaking just in the fact that it's a vibration of molecules to create a audio frequency when it hits our tympanic membrane and transform into a signal. I mean that music is written with a passion. It's written with, you know, for any artist, when they create something, whether it's an author, a musician, or whatever, they are creating it in the truest sense of the word. A lot of songs are built upon an emotion. As a songwriter as well, I know that I use my own emotions when I'm writing music, and whether, you know, quite honestly, it was a lot of bad relationships that spawned a lot of my music, but it was just a way to channel that, a way to process that out. Now, since it was built on emotion and it resonated with that emotion, it doesn't surprise me at all that that may have a spiritual impact as well on the atmosphere and cause things to come look, because it is a resonance. It is a, not just in a sound vibration, but it is an energetic resonance of its own. So music is incredibly powerful. And just think about it. When you're feeling sad or down or depressed or angry, you turn on a music that resonates with that. And it helps. It helps to discharge. It helps to process. So music is an incredibly powerful medium of the arts. And to me, it's one of the most powerful, because music, there are people who break it down and try to get all scientific with it, but you either like a song or you don't. It either hits something in you on an emotional level or it doesn't. And there's not really a reason for that. There's not really a logic behind it. Some of the stupidest songs become so popular because they resonate with so many people. And it's just that something about it triggers an emotional response. And that is a very, very powerful thing. So I think that music very well could excite the spirits as well as, you know, other people. I know that Bear and Kumbo, when they were both hanging out together, they don't really anymore, but when they did, I guess they played Led Zeppelin out on one of their Sasquatch expeditions, and I guess it just pissed them off. They had howling and all kinds of racket. They did not like Led Zeppelin. So even the squatches get affected by some music. So anyway, just some thoughts, but I think music is incredibly powerful. There's, it's timeless. It really is, except for some of that manufactured studio garbage today. But you know what I mean? Those are my thoughts on that. The next one has to do with a computer. This one's a little longer, so let's see what it has to say. And this one comes out of Arkansas. I got to tell you that I've been away in Nashville, Arkansas, a very small town, for the holiday weekend and just returned. And I don't know what holiday they're talking about, but this was written in 2007 in May, the end of May, so I'm not sure. I was visiting my dad and stepmom, and it was my first time to meet her because they wanted to get married really quickly and swiftly, so they did it without me there, and I granted them the wish. I had a nice time and enjoyed meeting Elaine, and the one strange thing happened on this trip that this morning, actually. It would have been about 3 a.m, and it was Tuesday the 29th, and I had to get up that early for my plane out of Texarkana, an hour drive away, and this could be explained away, but it really puzzled me, and here's the deal. I brought along my iBook computer with me on the trip, and on Monday, I had all three of us go into the backyard and take photos together. And I quickly came in and downloaded them, and one came out great with the three of us all smiling, and I kept it on my computer for the rest of Monday, but my computer has that timed fade-out where if you leave your screen on, it will black out after a bit on its own. The only way the screen can come back on as if someone or something contacts the finger pad square used for moving the cursor, you know. It's a mouse pad, I guess, but yeah. Well, right before I went to bed at about 10 p.m. on Monday night, I walked to the computer and whisked my finger onto the pad so the screen popped up, and I could see the photo again before bed. The light illuminated the room as I went to bed and got under the covers, and in a matter of minutes, the screen blacked out, as normal, and the room was cast into darkness. I awake on my own just about a minute before 3 a.m. went off, and to find the screen was on, and the photo was up again, illuminating the room, and I immediately got a chill about it and thought, wait a minute, that shouldn't be on. I hopped up to inspect to see if something was walking on it, like an insect, and if they walked across the pad, could it turn on like that? I don't know, maybe. I'd assume, right? But I didn't see an insect, and then the screen went black again. And I hopped into bed, and the alarm went off and scared me, and then I caught a glimpse of this figure on the nightstand next to me that had been beside me for the whole time I visited, but I never inspected it until that moment when the alarm went off, and I got a bit of a chill. The figure was a girl that reminded me of the girl in my vision right before leaving, with angel wings, and she was on her knees praying. And it may not be anything, but one, the computer being on really caught me by surprise, and two, it might just be a silly thing, but that angel girl figurine next to my bed reminded me of the vision. Another weird thing that I learned on this trip is Elaine, my stepmom's only daughter, was born the same year as I was, and she was killed in a car wreck sometime around prom or homecoming, I believe. It's been about 10 years since she passed. With me leaving so early in the morning, I didn't get to ask Elaine where that angel figurine came from, and I wanted to, just ask her out of curiosity, but not telling her why I'm asking. I don't want to freak her out. And two, since I only just met her on this trip and I'm getting to know her, it's not right for me to come out so immediately and ask about her daughter's death and if she's experienced any weird things since her daughter passed. I don't want to frighten Elaine or have her think that I'm crazy, but I had many questions in my mind early this morning as I left. My life has been feeling a bit different and odd since May 22nd, and I don't really want to be making stuff up in my head or over-exaggerating or anything, but things just feel a little off-kilter. These new developments might be absolutely nothing, but I'm just not taking notice. But I'm just taking notice, rather, trying to notice details just in case something is going on around me. It's possible. The thing is, with electronics, I don't think it's very hard for spirits to affect them. I mean, stories of spirits screwing with electrical items go back to since there's been electrical items. I mean, lights, thermostats, radios, pretty much televisions, anything. When dealing with a haunting, electrical disturbances are real common, and perhaps that's because essentially most spirits all spirits are some form of electromagnetic field, as most researchers believe. So if they are an energy field of their own, is it a big stretch that they could affect other energy fields? Well, no, I don't think so. I think it stands to reason. So just some thoughts on that, if it's probably takes about the least bit of their effort to do, because it is an energetic item itself. So it's just a matter of maybe adjusting frequency. I'm just guessing at the physics here, but it just it's real, real common. There's always some kind of electrical interference of some kind. So just some thoughts on that. This one's really pretty short, but this is coming out of New York. It says, about 15 years ago, the guy living in my current house passed away. After 12 years, we moved in. People say he died from a heart attack, but others say his wife killed him. Yikes. But I ended up getting the room he died in. And every night I could hear beating in the chimney in the room, and it would slowly move its way right up above my bed. A week later, I had my friend Megan spend the night to see if she could hear it too. And well, she did. And then I had my sister stay in there to see if she could hear it. And about a week later, it was my birthday, and we slept out in the tent, and we could hear someone screaming. So we went out to check it out, but we didn't see anything outside. So we went inside, and we could hear footsteps up the stairs, but we didn't see anybody. Then the door to my room opened, and we went in there and saw a shadow going into the chimney. We were wondering, why would he go into the chimney? And people say that his wife killed him and stuffed him in the chimney. Every other night, I can hear the doorbell ring, but nobody's there. So I go back up to bed, and then I could hear the door shut and hear the footsteps go up the stairs and into my room. But this time, I didn't see anybody. Huh. So the next night, I put powder down to see if there were real footprints. And the next morning I checked, and there were real footprints leading up to the chimney in the room. And every day I wonder, how can I stop him from coming back? The only way I can think of is to give him a proper burial. But the only problem is, how do I get his body out of the chimney? That's the one thing I haven't figured out. So if you people out there know how to get his body out of there, please let me know. I really appreciate it. I don't know. That's a strange one if there's actually a body in the chimney. That's a weird one. Okay, the next. That was the chimney ghost. And I don't know what you do in those kind of situations. All right, guys, this is probably a great place for us to take a break. So don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Now, this is an interesting one, and here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of times, I think it's a good omen when you look at a clock and you see like 2-2-2, 3-3-3, 5-5-5, 11-11, and so on and so forth. All right, here's a kind of a medium-sized story, but it's coming out of New York again, and this one is, I've really never experienced a ghost in my life until last year. I'm only 14 now, and I'll tell you, once I made a mistake. The presence of evil never leaves me, and when I'm alone at the house, my friend and I love to joke around when it comes to ghosts. Oh no, he has a Ouija board that worked for us. It didn't tell us much, except there are ghosts in my friend's house, and there are three, one regular and two poltergeists. They don't torment us, but when I spent the night, they like to show up as white figures around 2 a.m. Enough about that, though. The thing that really hurt me was the one question. Do you know how I can summon spirits in my house? Oh, no. No. He told me he heard from somewhere, and I can't remember, that you can bring a poltergeist easily by hanging a sheet of paper over your bed at night with three words written on it. Oh, come on. Knife, blood, fear. Being as skeptical as I am, I tried it. That was mistake number one. Now this says 11:11 p.m. I was awoken by a loud scratching noise, and I thought nothing of it. and looked out the window to see the tree. It was still, no wind. It sounded like crumpling paper and deep breathing coming from right above me. Frozen in fear, I now had to think fast. I rushed to the door despite my brother and flicked on the lights. A black shadow in the shape of a torso and head, the rest blurred, was right over where I was sleeping. Scared, I cursed it and yelled for it to leave. I prayed as hard as I could to God to make it leave, and I left the room and got some water. After I shook it off, kind of, I went back upstairs. The lights flicked on and off 4 times, and then I heard a faint laugh, and it was over. Now every day for a year, I will be woken up at 11:11 p.m. with chills, and I feel a great evil presence with me. I've learned my lesson now, and I want that thing out. It has shown itself a couple of times over the last year, last time being a week ago, in mirrors and or the TV reflection. I told my parents about this, and they say I have an overactive imagination and need to settle down. I know one thing about this. I didn't think it up. Yeah, that's it. I don't know. Here's the thing. That kind of story. Yeah. I got to think about this one carefully because, you know, it is possible through ignorance to cause something bad to come into your world. That is possible. I think actual poltergeists are really quite rare. I don't think that they're, you know, just because a glass moved does not make it a poltergeist. A poltergeist activity is generally really over the top. Not quite like the videos you see on YouTube, which which are, I'm absolutely certain they're staged. In fact, I've seen videos showing you how to stage those kind of videos to make them real. It's just, the videos on YouTube are just over the top. They're just like, oh, my kitchen's exploding. Things are going crazy. You know, drawers opening and shutting. And it's, you know, it looks fantastical. But, if your house has that much consistent activity, it should be crawling with scientists, not YouTube cameras. It's just, most real life paranormal investigating. A friend of ours, Dan Pruitt, to give you an idea what real life paranormal investigating, if you don't already know, he calls his group Red Eyes and Dead Batteries, because that's about it. Most of his investigations, he might get a voice. You might see some hint of an apparition or something, but that's about it. And these videos on YouTube showing things just going wild are just bizarre. Now, is it possible to bring something negative in your house by writing 3 words on a piece of paper? Here's the thing. The writing 3 words on a piece of paper and hanging over your bed doesn't mean a thing. But if you believe it means a thing, then it's your belief that is creating the experience, whether that is creating a gateway of some kind that brings something in, or if your fear will manifest as a spiritual presence in some form or another, whether it's really a spirit or if it's just your manifestation of fear. Those are both possibilities. So as much as I want to scoff at this story as ridiculous, I do believe that we can create these experiences just by fear. And once you exude that much energy, it perhaps can take its own, its own existence, can become something because you have created it. I mean, we really are, on a very fundamental level, creators. And I'm not talking about that we can build trikes or build a wagon. I'm talking that we can manifest reality and manifest our own fears into reality. We are very, very, very powerful beings. So if, kids could do that, sure. It could happen. Playing with a Ouija board, we've discussed that a million times on the show. I don't think Ouija boards are inherently evil. I don't think, I know a lot of people like to jump on that bandwagon like, oh, Ouija board, bad, bad. And here's the thing. The board in and of itself is just a printing. I got one hanging on the wall back here. Nothing to it. It's just fresh out of the box. It's never been used, but it's just for decoration for the studio. The problem with the Ouija board is this. It's a blind channel. You're creating a blind channel, a connection to whatever the hell might be willing to come through. And you don't know. And 99% of the people using a Ouija board have no way to control it because they don't understand how to properly set up a session, how to properly set up an atmosphere for a positive session, how to, you know, cleanse, how to clear, how to, you know, ward against negativity. But, you know, it's a bunch of kids recommended for ages 8 and up, putting their hands on it. Well, you know, you're a blind channel. You're saying, oh, is, you know, grandpa there? Well, a spirit will say, I'm grandpa, you know, and it'll become, you know, starts out with giggles and smirks and ends with scratches and screaming. You know, it's just, you don't know what's coming through. And the other problem is that you are the channel in a Ouija board session. You are physically the channel, and you're lending an opening through you to the board to create messages. And they might not want to leave. They might, and just dragging the board over goodbye or the planchette over goodbye is not the same as sealing and closing a session. You don't open a portal you can't close. So do your due diligence, investigate, learn before you touch these things. And you can have positive experiences, could have wonderful experiences, but if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to have a lot of trouble, or could have a lot of trouble. The other thing was, is again, the 1111, the 222, 333. When I see those numbers, I always go on Google and say, what is the significance of, and then put in the number I just saw when it's a triple number or a quadruple number. And you get numerology charts and stuff. And it's really cool because, you know, I found some really cool messages that, you know, seem to be relevant. Like it's one of the ways that maybe our guides are communicating with us. Maybe it's guardian angels, you know, whatever you want to define it as. But it's like a message. And so I found great meaning in some of those things. And I don't know. But now this person says 1111 is when every night they're woken by this ghost or this poltergeist. So I don't know. But if you look up 1111, let's just do that for a second. Let's look up 1111 just to show you what I mean. What is the significance of 1111? So it brings me through Google to some numerologists and New Age philosophies believe that events linked to the time 1111 appear more often than can be explained by chance or coincidence and is an example of synchronicity. Some authors claiming that seeing 1111 on a clock is an auspicious sign. Others claim that 1111 signals a spirit presence. So, what are some of the other ones saying? I used to see these angel numbers or something, and I found those pretty good. Ask angels. Here we go. Let's open this one. Okay, so this one says 1111. What does it mean when you keep seeing the number 1111? Whether it's on the clock or a license plate, apartment, I don't want to see your head, apartment number, Facebook comments, or YouTube likes, any other places, 1111 is definite message from spirit. When I see 1111, I know that it brings along with it incredible messages and an important reminder from the angels. Learn more about 1111 really means here. Numbers, blah, blah, blah. The more you pay attention, 1111 is a call to tune in into their love and guidance. Diving even deeper, 1111 is a call to tune into the codes of awakening, the ascension light, and the DNA activations of the realms of spirit. Humanity and the earth are in the middle of an ascension process. More light and higher vibrations are available now than ever before. We have to choose it. Seeing 1111 is your guides and angels ringing your doorbell. It's the universe knocking on the door saying, we have a light package for you. So there's some of the information that you can find. And at the very least, it's real positive. It's, you know, you get little positive reminders when you look at these things. If you believe in numerology or not, that's your thing. You know, and I'm not telling you to, I'm not telling you not to. But I think that oftentimes divine guidance can manifest itself in signs and symbols. You know, it's not going to be like God going, hey, what the hell are you doing? Start paying attention. You know, it's going to be symbols, things that inspire you to look and learn and research. So just something I do. If you choose to do it, great. I'm glad to help. And if you choose not to, I understand completely. It's up to you. But an interesting story nonetheless. So the next one I'm going to read to you. So just moved into my boyfriend's four-bedroom house 2 months ago, and I never felt anything strange. But one day I was cleaning the kitchen, and he was in the living room, and I saw something from the corner of my eye run past where he was sitting towards another room. It seemed like it was a child wearing a cape or towel, like if they were playing, and I asked him if he ever saw anything, and he said, no. Then I would feel a presence every so often, like a coldness or something running by, and I'd always catch it from the side of my eye. He then told me that he would always see something in the hallways, and when he would turn around, nothing. Last night, I was the only one awake in the house, and I went to one of the bedrooms that we turned into an exercise room, and I turned on the TV and left the room as I was walking down the hall, and I could see the light of the TV reflecting against the wall. I left the door was cracked open. Right when I pushed the door open, the TV was turned off, so I thought maybe something went out. I turned on the light and turned the TV back on, and it was working fine. I noticed that the compartment that opens so you can change channels and the volume was open. I freaked out because I knew for a fact that I turned on the TV with the remote and the compartment I was speaking about was shut. Earlier that day, I was cleaning up that room, so I know nobody else was in there, and I asked everyone that lives with me if they heard noises, and they said they hear things, but they don't bother because it's not going to harm us. It still scares me because I think someone is playing a joke on me when they aren't. Maybe someone has a similar experience. Again, you know, if it's a little spirit that just wants to be acknowledged, could be. I don't think it's nefarious. There are several buildings in the district that I believe to be haunted, and I'd written a paper for a college course about 2 years ago. The most activity I've experienced had been in the junior high building. That building was built in 1901, and it is said that a young girl named Nellie killed herself there over a boy in 1920. The building was first constructed as a training school and then became the high school before being turned into the junior high. And I've had a basketball thrown down the stage steps at me in the dark when turning on the lights, and I've heard a young girl say, goodbye. And I recently heard a little girl hum in my left ear when hanging up the broom by the stage. At Christmas, something pulled a banner off the door when I was in the building alone, and the tape was still intact and shaped as if it were contorted to the door. I would have to say the most unusual experience was when I was vacuuming the band room. It was as if I had pushed my arm against a block of ice. That part of my arm was cold for quite a while afterwards. There is what I believe to be a male entity who walks on the tops of some of the buildings, and he makes noises in different spots just so you know he's there. My son actually heard him walking one time. I've been a cat lover, and I've had cats since I was really young. And I have a cat named Shuby. She was as sweet as she could be with her what? Plaintive little meow. Plaintive. That's cute. She was a fairly large cat. At one point, she grew to be 17 pounds. And we don't know how or by what, but she got bitten when she was 9 or 10, and the bite healed, but we believe arthritis began to sink in. It became harder and harder for her to walk, and after a while, she could no longer climb into her litter box, and we could tell she was in a whole bunch of pain, and having all her weight on her sore, stiff joints, and finally, we made the decision to have her euthanized. It was a really sad day, and we had finally had to give her up. There were many tears, and that was in 2003, and since then, we've had other cats, and however, I believe she's never entirely left. I can swear I've seen her all over the house, and mainly in the bathroom, and in the hallway where she loved to sit in life. She's also been spotted on the bed, and whenever I see her, though, it's always out of the corner of my eye, and she's not there when I look directly, and it's comforting to know that my sweet little kitty is still around. I hope she knows that it was for the best and she was put to sleep, and somehow I really think she does. And I think she's just hanging around because she didn't really get to live a full life here because of the arthritis and wasn't quite ready to leave the earth yet. I can only guess, though. Yeah, cats and dogs and these animals, birds, whatever you happen to have for a pet, they definitely become part of our hearts. They are just a big part of our lives, and when they go, it's tough. But I don't think the cat's necessarily sticking around because it didn't have a full life. I think it's sticking around because, you know, I really believe that they wait for us. You know, I think they do. And when our time comes, they'll join us to cross over that journey, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's just a romantic idea. I don't know. But I hope so. The next one, ladies and gentlemen, is coming from Connecticut, or otherwise known as Connecticut. I don't know how they get Connecticut into Connecticut. I don't know. I guess my palate doesn't work that fast. Maybe it's just me. So one of the stranger experiences I've had really puzzles me even to this day. Whether or not this was supernatural or just a really odd coincidence, I'll never know. But it started off when I was a little girl, about 8 or 9 years old, and there was a path in the woods in my neighborhood, and I used to go walking on that every so often, and I used to go walking there if I was scared of being home alone in my house. And one day, when I was walking, I'd gotten pretty far along to the path when from up ahead trotted what looked like a white German Shepherd. Although the exact breed isn't really clear, it had no collar and no markings of any color, just his fur was sort of dull but not dirty, nor did the dog look homeless, despite its lack of a collar. When the dog got closer, I put my hand out to pet it, but it just walked by me, and as if it didn't even see me at all. It never looked up at me, and it just stared ahead and kept going and seemed to disappear quickly into the distance. I thought it was possible that their owner was further up along the path, but when I reached there, I saw no sign of any person. Not to mention, I don't recall the dog belonging to any of my neighbors. So I brushed the incident off and never really told anybody about it. Well, that was until about 2005 when, I don't know for the life of me what reminded me of this incident, but I remembered it really vividly. So I decided to tell my boyfriend about it, and he didn't really think much of it until the next day, and we had been driving for several hours, and my boyfriend stopped the car on the side of the dirt road going through the woods like area. There was no houses for miles that he could take a pee. Nice. I got out to stretch my legs, and I looked up ahead, and trotting down the road, I see a white German Shepherd looking dog, no collar, no markings. The same as the last time, it seemed to not even notice me. I called to my boyfriend, "Do you see the dog?" He says, "Yes. It's the same as the story I just told you about." He walked in front of the dog and it just walked around him, not looking up. He extended his hand to pet the dog and it just moved away faster and disappeared down the road. What had just happened? I hadn't uttered a word about the white dog for nearly 10 years, and that day, after I finally do, I see it again. And this time someone else saw it. Now, as I said before, I don't know if it was supernatural or just a coincidence, whatever it was. And I will never forget the strange white dog. It's a pretty cool story, and as far as coincidences go, that's got to rank right up there with about as coincidental as it could possibly be if it was just a normal, you know, white dog just in both its sequences. But if the person just shared the story and it appeared again, I would lean towards it being something paranormal or supernatural. But maybe it's just me. That's a cool story, though. I like that one. It's symbology, or, you know, is it a manifestation or something? I don't know. Very cool. So the next one is from the great state of Minnesota. My home grounds, as it were. It says, in July 1st of 2007, I went to my cousin's birthday party with my dad. And as my mom and my brother went to the zoo with my grandma, and I'm 10, and at the party, we played softball. Then after the party, my dad dropped me off at my house. My parents were split up, and my mom wasn't home yet, so I stayed at home by myself and I watched my dog Bella. And Bella and I were watching television when all of a sudden Bella started barking like crazy and ran toward the stairs. I thought it was normal at first, but then I heard noises like someone falling and tripping over things, and I immediately called my mom, and she said she was on her way over. After I hung up the phone, it all stopped, so I just kept watching TV, and then my mom called to make sure I was still okay, and when I answered, the barking and noises all started happening again. My mom said she'd be over in about 5 minutes, and we said goodbye, so I hung up and went downstairs to check, and as I took the last step, it all stopped. Then I was really freaked, and I was walking around, and there was nothing, no one. My mom came home to see me curled up in a ball on the couch, and when she checked and found the same thing as I did, nothing and no one. And I don't know if it was a ghost or my imagination, but I hope it was just my imagination because I can't stand living in a haunted house like my grandma, but that's a whole other story. Wow. That's bizarre, and I wouldn't think it's your imagination if it happened again when you're on the phone and your dog is reacting to it as well. So very strange, but these things are all strange, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we love the paranormal. All right, so the next one is from Kansas, the great state of Kansas. One day at school, I was in the bathroom talking to my friends, and my friend was still in the bathroom, and I said that I was leaving, and she stopped me saying, "Wait, don't leave me here." And I asked her what she was talking about, and she said that she has seen ghosts of little boys in the bathroom crying. And she also said that if you look hard, that you can see them in the mirrors. Well, I stayed with her, and before we left, I decided to look into one of the mirrors, and only seconds after I looked, I saw one of the little boys staring with a mad and mocking look on his face. One more time that same day, I went to the bathroom to fix my hair, and I heard soft music playing. I couldn't tell where it was coming from. Of course, I was the only one in the bathroom at the time, and I looked over to the right of me and saw another boy smirk, and he started to chuckle. He came running after me, and I squealed, and somehow I was frozen. But seconds before he could touch me, he disappeared out of nowhere. I once again dared to go in the restroom, scared out of my mind. I shakingly struggled to go in there, but I was in there for the longest time trying to figure out why they were doing this to me. And then nothing happened. But as soon as I was about to walk out the door, I saw that same boy crying, and he was kneeling on the floor, hovering over what looked to be like his dead brother. And this made me very sad, and I took a few steps over, and the boy said, how can I help? Oh, she took a few steps over to the boy and said, how can I help? And the boy vanished. I'm sure I'll see him again soon. What causes these ghosts to do this, and if they are real and not something I made up with my mind, how did little boys get in the girl's restroom? Well, I'm sure the door opens for boys too. And how did they end up dying in there? And why did they choose me? Ah, the beautiful wonders in life. Well, you know, I don't think that they necessarily died in the bathroom. I mean, again, that's the classical ideology of this, is that if something appears somewhere, there must be a tragic death associated with it. And that's not the case. It doesn't have to be the case at all. It's just where they happen to be. And I don't know why a girl's lavatory, but, you know, for whatever case, that's where this spirit is happening to be. But yeah, don't, you know, the whole idea that they stayed, they're only there because something tragic happened there does not, you know, it's not really true. I believe that they can go where they choose to go, and maybe that's, they choose to be there because there's lots of people coming in there and they can make themselves known. But it's hard to know. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.